Right. Carrying on our learning of Chofetz Chaim, a daily companion, the Schus for Shlema of Yosef de Ben Chayla, the Serge Orcho Le Yisrael. So we're still talking about being Mevaza Tamed Echachomim. We said last time that the Yetzer Hara tells us that we think the Tamed Echachomim nowadays are not like the Tamed Echachomim of the old days, and therefore it's okay to speak Lashon Hara about them. And the Chofetz Chaim tells us this is patently false. The criteria with which we judge someone to be a Talmud Chacham goes according to generation. So anyone in our generation who is a Rov, a Dayan, or a Posek is called a Talmud Chacham, and one must be show great respect and not speak Lashon Hara about them. Also, conversely, we're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about an Amar Oretz. Someone doesn't know anything. It's only regarding Apikoiris that we are allowed to speak Lashon Hara. That's coming up the next segment very soon. The laws of Shmiras HaLashon underscore the profound impact which our words have on our relationships with family, neighbors, and friends, and the respect which our Rabbonim and Rebbeim should enjoy within the Kehillah. This realization should inspire us to conduct all our dealings and conversations with the care and concern which the Torah requires of us. If we accomplish this, we will serve as a catalyst for elevating our Kehillah and as the light unto the nations which Hashem has chosen us to be. Now the Chofetz Chaim goes on to speaking Lashon Hara about an Apikoros. So first of all, what is an Apikoros? How does one define Apikoros? What would you say? Sorry?
Doesn't believe in the Torah.
Not quite. Doesn't believe in Torah ben Hashemayim. So, any other definitions? So the Mishnah said two Mishnahs in Sanhedrin, in Bavli and Yerushalmi. They both say, doesn't believe in Torah ben Hashemayim, doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim. Thank you. And we'll carry on in Mitzvah Hashem on Sunday. Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London. Friday, Isru Chag Ches Sivan, 14th of June. Rabbi Yeshua Fricker's Shlita, Pasha theme. This week's Torah is sponsored anonymously, but it's just Ashivoma Chayolim Bamil Chamosh Yachzu Levotayim Lesholim Bim Heiro.
Amen. Okay, good morning everyone. Hope everyone had a nice uplifting Yom Tov. And we're going to talk about the parasha theme. I'm going to narrow it down. The topic we'd like to discuss is explore the life, the mission, the Hanhaga of Ribbono Shel Olam regarding Shimshon. Of course, that's parashas of the Nezirus. Is of course what appears in parashas Nosei, and the Haftarah picks up in a little bit from the parasha and Shoshtim of Shimshon. Okay, so we'll try Bez Hashem, discuss his life, as we said. And to begin with, when learning Nach in general, and specifically big tzaddikim, like oracles, of course, Shimshon, sometimes we encounter and hogoy's behaviors which seem a bit, could say, foreign to us. I mean, they don't seem to play out how we think they ought to be. So, of course, that's true about many things that we see in life. Of course, we're learning through Nach and Neviim, dealing with, of course, tremendous tzaddikim often. They do present challenges, dilemmas on how to understand them. And, of course, the correct way is to understand it through how Chazal teach us, Sforim. And really, the main key yesod is that we have to try and understand what is the Anhoga of the Ribbono Shel Olam here? What is the Ribbono Shel Olam trying to do, and why is he trying to do it in this way? Of course, where we turn is to the Chazal, Midrashim, Gemaras. They have that insight, understand it. And I think practically what this enables us to do is in our own lives to understand that, of course, things don't play out as we think they ought to do. We have to understand, try to understand what is the Anhog of the Ribbono Shel Olam here. And of course, that gives us a boost in our Emunah. But things are working according to a plan. What has a strange thing happening? There is a specific anhoga here, a way the Ribbono Shel Olam is running things. And so we're learning Nach, and Parshas in Nach does help us, as we said, to give us, through the words of Chazal, an insight into how Rebbeinu Shem does things. So, we'll now try, as we said, try and work through some of the episodes along the way that happened to Shimshon. And I'm going to have to, of course, assume that we know the basic outline, although I'll go through, of course, the main points that we're going to pick up on through the parasha of the Nach. So to lay the scene, Shimshon was the last of the Shoftim. Okay, as we know, the parasha, the tekufa, the period of the Shoftim spanned from after the Misas Yehoshua, Yehoshua ben Nun, all the way until Shmuel HaNavi. Well, Shmuel HaNavi essentially transitioned to the period of the Melochim, of the kings. Shmuel HaNavi led Klal Yisrael, of course he appointed Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech. So the period of Shoftim, we said, about 15 Shoftim, we find through Tanakh, Sneel ben Kenaz starting, and culminating, as we said, with Shimshon. He was the last period of the Shoftim. Now, Shimshon had a specific role. I mean, through the Shoftim, their role was the leader of Klal Yisrael, and generally it was to stand up to the enemies of Klal Yisrael, to wage war, which was, the Pasuk in Yeshua says, that this is the Anhog of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, even though when they initially came to Eretz Yisrael, there's tremendous nisim involved with defeating the enemies. Hashem now shifted a little bit, the Anhog here, now is going to have to be defeated through Tachsisim Chama, through actual war, strategies of war. And this was the period of the Shoftim. They went to war, waging war with enemies. So Shimshon had a specific role, and that was in starting to engage in battle with the Plishtim. Okay, might sound a little bit topical. Starting battle with the Plishtim. So why do I say starting battle with the Plishtim? Because we find that the Plishtim, we have a long history with the Plishtim. And it goes all the way back to Avraham Avinu and Abimelech. Where, you know, the parish of Yira, we find that Avraham Avinu had settled in the land of Abimelech, and Abimelech had asked Avraham Avinu to make a peace treaty. They wouldn't engage in war with each other. Avraham Avinu agreed and made the peace treaty for three generations. Okay, so Avimelech's children and grandchildren. Nini Ulanechti, it says. Therefore, the Plishtim were untouchable. With our initial, even though, as we find in Yeshua Perek Yud Gimel, it describes the five Sarni Plishtim, five leaders of Plishtim with their kingdoms, Azosi, Aza, Ashdodi, Ashkeloni, it's along the coast. So that was where the Plishtim, the land of the Plishtim was. As we said, they weren't allowed to touch them because of this peace treaty of Avraham Avinu made with Avimelech. However, comes the period of Shimshon, as we're going to see in Psukim, Shimshon was the first and now was allowed to engage in war against the Plishtim. And the Gemara explains, because the Plishtim had themselves had nullified the peace treaty. They had started up with Klal Yisrael. Therefore, since they had essentially now gone against their peace treaty, we were now entitled to fight back. And that was the key role Shimshon had, was beginning this milchama, this battle against the Plishtim, which was followed on, of course, by Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech. This was, if you like, the central role, important role that Shimshon played in his role as a Shofet. Shimshon was a Shofet, 20 years of Klal Yisrael, so of course it involved the battles, but of course it involved everything else as a Shofet. He was a judge, he was a leader of Klal Yisrael, a manik, in every way. 20 years Shimshon had this role. So that's in the big picture where Shimshon is coming from. He said that period of the Shoftim, the last of the Shoftim, transitioning, as we can see this is important, from the Shofet to the Melech, to Malchus, essentially Malchus based David. You know, that transition. So let's just go through some main points along the way in the story of, so to speak, of Shimshon. They're just to refresh. These are things we're going to come back to. So, first of all, Shimshon, as we know, came from Shevet Don. Okay? His father was Shevet Don. His mother was from Shevet Yehuda. Okay, we'll see this is something going to be important, understanding that who Shimshon was. He was a combination, he was Shevet Don and Shevet Yehuda. His father was Don, his mother was from Yehuda. He was, of course, born an Aussie. You know, the Malach told Eishes Manayach, his mother, that you should make your child an Aussie. And we know in Halacha there's something called Naziris Shimshoin, a specific type of Naziris modeled around the Naziris of Shimshoin. Now, of course, we all know he was an Aussie, so he had to grow his hair long, and he had certain restrictions drinking wine, but not all the restrictions of a typical Nazir, but in Nazir's Shimshoin. And he had this gifted, this tremendous strength. That's what he's famous for. Shimshoin is a mighty warrior. Tremendous physical strength. So that was, Gemara explains, of course, he was other strengths, but this was his strength, you know, the hallmark of Shimshoin. Now, another key aspect of Shimshoin, of course, was that he was drawn to Noshim from the Plishtim. Okay, so in his life he had three women from the Plishtim, and we don't find that he was at all married a woman from Klal Yisrael. Okay, so Chazal explained whether they were, it was Megaya, wasn't Megaya, but that's what he was drawn was to the wives from the Plishtim. Now why? Pasuk says, his parents told him, are there not enough women from Klal Yisrael? So they didn't, the Pasuk says they didn't know. Shimshoin was looking for an excuse to start up with the Plishtim. You can call it like a Trojan horse. So this was his way of picking a fight with them. He wanted to pick a fight with the Plishtim, find an excuse to fight with the Plishtim. And that was the reason why he went along that route, involving himself with women from the Plishtim. And Pasuk lists out, in particular, there were three women, starting with a woman from Timnah. Okay, so Timnah we find, of course, by Yehuda, where in a similar, if you like, context with Tamar, where Gemara makes a distinction or contrast between Yehuda and Timnah, which was a lashon of Aliyah. He went up to Timnah, and Shimshon says he went down to Timnah. So Gemara picks up on this difference. But that was the first one, a woman from Timnah, which, as we learned through the Psukim, that did end up in, if you like, a disaster for the Plishtim, and he managed to find a way of an excuse to, as we said, pick a fight with the Plishtim. So I'm just going to pick up on one detail here, which I'm going to best try and come back to. Pasuk describes Vayered Shimshoin, his father and mother, Timnosa. Along the way, he encountered a lion. Okay, so what does Shimshoin do? He's not going to shy away from that. And he rips it to shreds. He leaves the carcass of the lion, comes back to it later, and he sees there's bees making honey in the carcass of a lion. He goes on, and he marries this woman from Timnah. And at the Sheva Brachas, you know, maybe this is where it comes from, you have Sheva Brachas jokes and riddles. And so here, Shimshoin, the Sheva Brachas, I'm going to tell you a riddle. And what is the riddle? He says, if you have 7 days, the period of the Sheva Brachas, to answer me, if you give me the correct answer, I'll give you rewards, 30 sardinim, sheets, and items of clothing. So he tells him the riddle. What's the riddle? He said, from food comes food. From something bitter, strong, manage to extract something sweet. So from something strong, extract something sweet. That was the riddle. Okay, the story was they cheated. And in other words, they managed to tell him the answer to the riddle. But Shimshon obviously realized they cheated. Now he went and he wouldn't have any of that. So he used it, picked it, as he says, that was excuse to have a go at the Plishtim. Because that was one woman. The next woman we find was in Aza, where Chazal say that really heralded the, if you like, the, so to speak, downfall of Shimshoin. Because eventually, as we know, due to his third encounter with Delilah, third wife from the Plishtim, as we know, she managed to get from him the secret of his tremendous strength. His hair, of course, as we know, shaved it off and was dragged to Aza. They're wearing a big, where, as we know, a big fete in front of all the Plishtim, thousands of Plishtim. There, davening a tremendous tefillah to Rabbeinu Shalom, even though he didn't have his strength, his hair was cut. Davening to Rabbeinu Shalom, Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim, and pushing against the pillars, collapsed the building with thousands, Pasuk says, even more Plishtim died in his death, making this building collapse than he had killed in his lifetime. Okay, and that was in Aza, as we said, where Shimshon met his end. He died. Okay, so that's, as we said, the outline, a refresher. I'm going to pick up and go back to some of these points of the regarding Shimshon. So, of course, as we said, in his explanation, try and understand what's the hog of the Rebbein Shalom here, bringing Yeshua, salvation to Klal Yisrael, through what looks like a very underhand way which is foreign to us, to understand how to talk about tzaddik, tremendous tzaddik, one calls it, like Shimshon. So, based on Chazal, we'll try and share a little bit some ideas, try and, if you like, call it make sense, so to speak, what the Hanhog of Rebbein Shalom was over here. So, as we said, a point which is significant is that Shimshon was a Shevet Don. Okay, so, if we look at the bracha the Yaakov Avinu gave to Shevet Don, it's three psukim, and it ends off, Yishu'oscho kivisi Hashem. It starts off, Yihid don nochosh ale derech, and it goes on, like a nochosh, he's going to lie in wait, hanoshech ikvesus, he's going to bite the sole on the foot of the horse, Yipal roch le'ochor, the rider falls off, and the pasuk then goes on and says, that Yishu'oscho kivisi Hashem. Rashi points out that Yaakov Avinu b'nevuah was davening for Shimshon. Shuascha kivisi Hashem, davening for Shimshon. So we're going to, Hashem, pick up from these psukim, but a little bit of more details, more understanding about the koach of Shimshon. However, what's significant here is that we find that Shimshon epitomizes what Shevet Don is. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu chose to put in this bracha tefillah for Shimshon, this bracha Shevet Don. So, by learning about Shevet Don, that will teach us about Shimshon, and vice versa. By learning about Shimshon, we'll understand more about Shevet Don. So, that's what we're going to do now, is understand, but start by trying to understand more about Shevet Don. Because, as we said, Shimshon, inherently, as we said, the koach of Shevet Don was what actually came through with Shimshon. So we find by Shevet Don a very interesting paradox. Okay, that on the one hand, we find the pasuk which says by Amalek Kiseitze, Vaizanid Becho, Kol Henechasholim Acharecho. Chazal explained that Amalek would catch those who were expelled from the Anani HaKavod. They weren't worthy to be in the protection of Klal Yisrael Anani HaKavod. They were expelled. Those are the ones Amalek went after. The weak ones, the ones who were left behind. And the Chazal explain, who are these? Chazal explain that there were those from Shevet Don who were expelled from the Anani HaKavod, and those are the ones Amalek went after. And Chazal explain, because there were those from Shevet Don who were drawn to Avodah Zorah, famously Pesel Micha, at the end of Shoftim, was an Avodah Zorah which was predominantly being served by Shevet Don, and those were the ones who were expelled. We find by Avraham Avinu again, Rashi brings that Avraham Avinu with the Battle of the Kings, he chased until dawn, where they had Chalishus. Rashi explains again, Avraham Avinu Sul B'Nevuah, this like falling here was some of those from Shevet Don who attracted Avodah Zorah. So Chazal say, these are the ones Amalek went after. Because on the one hand, we find there's a certain weakness to some of those from Shevet Don. And they weren't entitled anymore to be, as we said, within the Anani HaKavod. On the other hand, there's another pasuk from next week's Sedra, Parshas Bal Yischo, where it sets out again the order of the Golim around the Mishkan, that Don was at the end, the back of the, when they moved along in the Midbar, Don was at the end, and Pasuk, famous Pasuk, and Don was Ma'asif L'Kol HaMachanois. He was at the end collecting all, the lost property maybe. He was at the end. Ma'asif, he collected everything. But Chazal explain what this refers to First, a don who would collect, again, all those stragglers, the back of Klal Yisrael, meaning the weak ones, the ones who had fallen, in Ruchnius. A don would collect those stragglers and bring them back into Klal Yisrael. Okay, sounds a bit of a paradox. But on one hand was Vayizanei B'chal Molek. He went after those from Shevet Don who expelled. Here, Don, his role was Ma'asif L'Kol HaMachnois. He was the one who was here to collect all those stragglers. Obviously referring to Ruchnius, those weak Ruchnius in Klal Yisrael. Seems to be a paradox here. So what was Shevet Don? Was he part of those weak ones? Was he the one who could actually save the weak ones? Okay. So this is going to be a Pesach. Understand, to answer this paradox through the Koyach, as we're seeing of Shevet Don, and of course how that's represented in Shimshon. And interestingly, another way which we see that Shimshon and Shevet Don, Shimshon epitomizes the Koyach of Shevet Don, is in the parash of the Nesi'im, this week's Edra. All the Nesi'im brought identical gifts to the Mishkan, it would appear. But of course, we know, Farshim Chazal explained, that each one had his own personal ideas and reasons, and they all were covered to the same gifts, but coming from all different reasons. As we know, each Sheva represents a different Mahalach and Avodas Hashem, contributes something different, Anhoga, to Klal Yisrael. And, says the Medrash, for everything that Don, the Nasi, Aliva ben Achisomach, that he brought as a Matona to the Mishkan, so every element of Matona was a remez to Nazirus, the Shimshon. So just a couple to quote. Shloshim Amei HaMishkola, one of the gifts weighed 130. Medrash says 130 is the amount of words in the parish of Nazirus, from Zeus Teras Anoze to Acha Yishteyayin. 130 words. So again, the Koyach of Nazirus is represented in this Matona that he gave. That's his motivation. As a zechus, again, Shimshon. Another example is Kaf Achas Asora Zohov. Kaf Achas Asora, again, weighing 10 gold pieces. What's the 10? These are the 10 Isurim that the Torah lists out that Anoze has. Every maton, you look in the Medrash here, Bamidbar Rabbah, every maton that the Don brought was corresponding to Halacha or something relating to Nazirus. Okay, so you see that this was very much, again, the Koyach of Don represented through Shimshon.
So did that apply to the gifts of the other tribes?
They all had their own personal things that connected to their Shevet and their Koyach and what they brought to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so this was Don. So as we said, we've got this paradox we would like to understand. So to now try and explain and a little bit, go a bit deeper into who Don was, what was his Koyach, we're going to look at the first Pasuk Yaakov Avinu gave in his bracha to Don, which says, Don Yodin Amoy, Don should be a Dai and judge his people, Ka'achad Shiftei Yisrael, like one of the Shavotim of Yisrael. So, what does it mean, Ka'achad Shiftei Yisrael? Don Yodin Amoy, what does it mean, Ka'achad Shiftei Yisrael, which, like one Shevet? So, Chazal gives two explanations, what Ka'achad mean. First is, Ka'achad Shiftei Yisrael means like one, which Shevet is, like most important, biggest Shevet, Yehuda. So it says like Shevet Yehuda. So Don is going to be judging Klal Yisrael just like Shevet Yehuda. Okay, so we've already seen a link between Don and Yehuda, which was at Shimshon. His father was Don, his mother was Yehuda. Here we see coming together again, Shevet Don, Ka'achash Yisrael, he's going to, in some way, be compared to Shevet Yehuda. That's one explanation the Medrash gives. Second explanation the Medrash gives is Ka'achad, who's Echad, Ribbono Shel Olam, like the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's on Yom Ka'achad, the focus on Ka'achad. He's going to have the Koyach of being Don, of leadership, and his Hanhoga, like the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, so I want to try and explain what these two, like, what does it mean in comparing to Yehuda, or in conjunction with Shevet Yehuda, and what does it mean, the other explanation, the other interpretation, Ka'achad like the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what does it mean like the Ribbono Shel Olam? So to start with, what does it mean like Yehuda? We find that Don and Yehuda, they were in partnership, actually, in the actual building of the Mishkan. We find, of course, who were the two primary architects, designers of the Mishkan? We find they together built not only the Mishkan, also the Beis HaMikdash. Medrash brings that, of course, Shlomo HaMelech built it with Chiram. Chiram was brought down to Miuchas to Shave at Don. Not only the Beis HaMikdash was built with this partnership between Shevet and Don, it's brought in Chazal that Moshiach and David is going to be father from Yehuda, mother from Shevet Don. Okay, so we see all the way through our history and our future, there's this partnership between collaboration, Shevet Yehuda, Koach Yehuda, and Shevet Don. So that's what we find, important aspect, Ka'achat Shifte Yisrael, that he works in tandem with Shevet Yehuda. Now, interestingly, there's another link that we find between Yehuda and Don. That was when Yerovam, he rebelled and wanted to bring a fight against the Malchus of Klal Yisrael split, as we know, of course, after Shlomo HaMelech, Rechavam, son of Shlomo HaMelech, king, Yehuda and Binyamin. There was a split. Yerovam ben Nevat was the rest of the Aseres HaShvatim. Now, Yerovam ben Nevat, as we know, he promoted Avodah Zarah, and he wanted Eyal Shevet Don, who are known as very fierce warriors, wasn't only Shimshon, it was in their blood, and he asked them, Shevet Don, to go and fight against Malchus Beis David. And they said, no, we're not fighting against Yehuda. And they basically left Eretz Yisrael. So they went into exile, self-exile, to avoid fighting Shevet Yehuda. So that's where we find Ka'achat Shevet Yisrael, a strong link between Shevet Don and Shevet Yehuda. What do we mean, Ka'achat Shifte Yisrael? So Chazal explained that just like the Rebbeinu Shlomo doesn't need anyone, he fights alone, so to Don, other Shoftim, they led battles against our enemies, but generally with the army. Shimshon is an exception. He didn't need anyone else. He fought alone. That's been up. Shimshon was a giveaway. On the contrary, he was even handed over by the Plishtim came looking for Shimshon. As he ran through, he was actually given over by Klal Yisrael to the Plishtim. He managed to escape, to fight his way out. But Shimshon is Natseach Levad, like a brain shame. Didn't need anyone else. Did it alone. Okay? What does this mean? So, with these two things in mind, like Shevet Yehuda and this idea, like the Rebbeinu Shlomo, we're going to try and explain up here, Chazal, what this means. So, we know that Yehuda is considered the Ikka of the Shvatim. Gemara says, Kol HaKoyfev HaAvodah Zarah is Moedah in the Rebbeinu Shlomo, it's called the Yid. When we say Yid, a Jew, a Hud, of course, what we mean is Yehuda, the word Yehuda. So Yehuda represents essentially the whole Klal Yisrael. So the label that we call ourselves as a Yid is from Yehuda. Yehuda represents identity of a Yid. Now, of course, identity of a Yid is the Tariag Mitzvahs that we have to keep, to have that identity. What happens, Rachman Aslan, if a person, Klal Yisrael, do Averis? Do they lose the identity, Chalila, of a Yehudi? So along came David HaMelech, say Chazal, and he taught the world the power of Teshuvah. Meaning, that a person's always a Yid. It's always possible to repair, to do Teshuvah. Every Averi can be repaired. So Chalila, a person can never lose that status, that label of a Yehuda, of a Yid. That was David HaMelech. Of course, he was Malchus Beis David. He was... He introduced Tshuva into the world. Now, what about a person who can't do Tshuva? As often in Yeshiva we like to say, the people who learn Musa are the ones who need it least. So, hey, the ones doing Tshuva is itself a whole Avodah Hashem. It's possible, of course, to do Tshuva, but not everyone really can relate to Tshuva and do Tshuva. So who takes care of those people who can't do teshuva, then the depths of tuma, who can bring them back into the fold to be called a Yehudi? The answer is, that's the koach of Shevet Don. Shevet Don has the ability to go deep down into the tuma and extract those who seem lost and bring them back into Klal Yisrael. So where do we find this koach and what is this koach? So remember we said Echad. Shimshon was like, so that explains what we mean like Yehuda, because Don is acting on behalf of Shevet Yehuda, of Yehuda. Yehuda is that label of a Yid, which Klal Yisrael have. Don makes sure that no one's left behind. He brings everyone back into the fold. even those who doesn't seem like they got any hope with tshuva. Now, what do we mean ka'achad shiftei Yisrael? So, there's a pasuk in Iyov, which says, mi yoitzi tome mitohor loy echad. Who can bring something, extract something pure from something impure? Loy echad, only the Ribono Shel Olam. Chazal explained, Avraham Avinu came from Terach. He wasn't a tzaddik. Avraham Avinu was a tremendous tzaddik. Ribono Shel Olam has a koyach to go to the tuma and extract something pure from it. This was the koyach v'shev at dawn, and this was epitomized in Shimshon, that they could relate and go down to that tuma and extract the people who seem totally lost. The second pasuk with the bracha of Yaakov Avinu compares dawn to a snake. Anoichesh ikvesus. Who else do we know in the Torah, of course, is a snake? The Yetzer Hara. Chazal explained that using that koyach of the Yetzer Hara for kedusha, that is essentially at the heart of it, the power of koyach v'shev at dawn. Anoichesh ikvesus. Remember the pasuk by Rav Shlomo by the Nachash? Hu yishuv charoich, atot shuvenu okev. Koyach v'sus is to bite at the heel, the Yetzer Hara. Don has that koyach of using it for kedusha, the rider should fall off. Because I'd explain that Samuel, the Satan was reichav on the Nachosh. The koyach of Don is this koyach, to take the koyach of essentially something tomei, and to use it to bring about kedusha. Like we said, echad, to bring something pure from something impure. And that's the koyach of ka'achad, like echad, like the Ribono Shel Olam. Only the Ribono Shel Olam can do that. This was the special power of Shev at dawn, and epitomized, we said, in Shimshon. So Shimshon, yes, had this tremendous koyach. He could use tumah. Of course, this is aberration. It's not a normal anhoga. But when it's needed, Hashem has it there. Use koyach of tumah, go into tumah, to extract kedusha. That's why Don said there's a paradox. No, it's because they did have this netia to the tumah, they could use it to bring out something pure from it. Schlep people out. People who seem lost, they have a hope. That's this anhoga of the Ribono Shel Olam, which we see developed and epitomized in Shev at dawn, how we see that in Shimshon. So even though we say Noz is a choita, however, it's used for a mitzvah. Okay, so these things, even though it might seem strange, this is anhoga of the Ribono Shel Olam. Can't ask questions, the Ribono Shel Olam uses this anhoga. And in fact, just to finish off, how central dawn is to Klal Yisrael, it's very interesting that the Ikka, if you like, settlements, towns where we live in Eretz Yisrael today, happen to be in Shev at dawn. Beit Shemesh, of course, a big Yishuv. So all through central Eretz Yisrael, going up the coast, if you look, Gush Dan, Tel Aviv, these are all in the Chelek of Eretz Yisrael of Shev at dawn. It's very interesting how, as we've been working through, of course, coming to purity and coming through the process of the arrival of Mashiach, and we see dawn was part of that Shutvus of Yehuda to bring about Mashiach. It's very interesting to see that we actually are living on the Zechus now in Eretz Yisrael of Shev at dawn. Thank you very much. And if you've enjoyed it, wish everyone a good Shabbos. Sorry?
The bracha, Yodin, Dom, Yodin, Amma, how does that fit in?
So, Ka'achad Shiftei Yisrael. What he was like, Shevet Yehuda, and Ka'achad, what he was like, Ribono Shel Olam. So, we're the power of Dom.
But I mean, as Don's one of the 10 tribes who at the moment are here, how do we utilize it?
So the Turkish one lost from Klal Yisrael. It still exists.
Right.
Why? Because it's brought down. Yirmiyahu brought back some of us. So it still exists within by individuals. So the force exists.
Okay, for sure.
Yeah, a little bit. Criticizing sounds like a little
bit. You as well.
One of the things it teaches you is...
Best thing to do, best thing to do is, those criticize and cannot do any better.
No, it was done in a good nature, but I was kind of flustered.